actually be. But so we will accept that we have a super new commissioner. I think it should be all right. And he's human like the rest of us. He's finding his feet. He's a very, very important commissioner. And we congratulate you and wish you well. And really, also, the year under review is the year that fell under the acting commissioner I replaced. And obviously, he and Aditya are more appropriate to account for the year under review. Without the new commissioner, will account for this financial year. We need to just report this to the next year this time. So, we wish you, we will congratulate you and wish you well. And welcome to the team. And we start the procedure with Bridget and Vasani. She is the overview of the very nice report they've done. And to focus on some of the issues that they have seen in the report and they want to alert in this group. So you've got between you, but you always come back later and in the
in the non-performance plan. Therefore, the only issue is the tablets that are not reported on, as well as the fact that the human resources report of the entity gives an employment equity profile, but there's no indication of where the entity is in terms of meeting its employment equity targets. And this issue is raised in relation to the fact that most of the employees, I think it's about 34 to 38%, at top management level and senior management are white males, whereas black females, in terms of representativity, are fewer. And also, when you look at targets in terms of people with disability, the representation of employees with disabilities has been increasing progressively over a number of years. And I think it's important for some to indicate to the committee when they have an employment equity policy and what the targets are and how, where they are in terms of reaching those targets. And that relates to meeting targets in terms of both gender and employees. A final issue that I think is important for us to clarify to the committee is that there is no indication of how staff has been spending on the allocation that it gets from National Treasury. For those staff, in terms of its mandate, it's in charge of revenue collection, which goes into the National Revenue Fund. SARS then gets an allocation from National Treasury in that case of 9.5 billion. And there is a need to for the committee to be able to measure how SARS is managing their budget and how it's spending their budget, whether there's any over expenditure or any other expenditure, and how especially that budget expenditure has in comparison to the service delivery of the entity. So I think that in terms of reporting both the reports of Parliament and the Auditor General's report, even though there are no issues with regard to the quality of financial statements, the quality of reporting information, the technical reporting aspect, needs to be looked at by the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think we just covered everything. I'll come in later.
Chair, thank you. I know the staff has shown, but I think there's something that she talked about which I was the ATP, the Hagerstrasser environment, by the way, just a little short. I thought ATP was presented to Parliament. They go through that process of Parliament, and if there's any review, and they go through to Parliament through a portfolio of mutual extension. And then if there's any review, that extends us with a particular or the consent committee. So that, because one of the things she was saying is that what they were interrogating differed from the revised version which they did with her. So that's the process to show on that.
What I can say about this is that SARS indicates that on the recommendation of the AG and after approval by the Minister of Finance. And the problem here would be that this is a new committee. If this went through a committee, it would have gone through the full parliament. And it would be something that the committee could follow up whether your predecessor actually looked at the strategic plan. I think that there is a possibility. It's something that we can look up at. I'll just read the note here. It says that national tariffs differ from printed version due to amendments approved by the Minister of Finance on 30 December, and that was on recommendation by the AG.
I wanted to check whether the correct procedure to deal with strategic plans and entities is what I'm saying, that through the committee to parliament, and then if there's any review, even if the minister reviews it, it would come into the committee and into parliament. So that if there's an updated version, then it replaces that one. So that you then don't come here to say, we use the old instead of the new, because you're not aware. Something around that. I'm not saying.
No, I think we need to get something else to see that. By the way, I thought this could probably help us for the members or the minister support this view and the people. As I understood it, the committee considers the SP strategic plan and the APP on other factors. I didn't know that if you were amending the or both, that you have to come back to the commission. That's the rule. You have to come back to the commission. Yeah, that's the question we should ask. You have to do that, so you can't do it.
I'm not entirely sure, but the approach set out in Chapter 530 Treasury Regulation, which requires the entity to submit to the Minister for any amendments to the MES, that's the way it's
actually done. No, no, the question is, departments bring their site plans and NDPs before committee. Now, during the period of the year, subsequently, they amend the APP and or the site plan. So they come back to Parliament to actually present them. But then what is the rule? Mama, at the Kumara position of the subhuman vessels, and to her right, I have Ms. Sri Amant, she's the group executive for last year's conference, and to her right, I have Chief Officer Operations, Mary Ho, and I have other senior officials. On the extreme right, I have the Chief of Internal Audit, Mr. Brian Ho, and other senior officials. I have Mr. Costillo, the head of NFT, representing his background. I thought he was responsible for his department, but I discovered that it's legal and political. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor to address of this afternoon. The comments so far from the next president for watching this opportunity is extremely important to our officials. I begin my organization in action from my colleagues in ESCO and the entire management of ESCO. I want to thank the organization of this year some for the last 4 months, gave me and me providing me the response so far with this presentation. In this presentation, based on the analysis and the comments, I would like to be in character and you on the front, and my colleagues will be able to respond to the issues that pertain to the matter of points that were done by my colleagues. But I would like them to reflect on issues. I quite enter into the matter in the context of this presentation, focusing on transferring the 2014 annual report. I want to take a few administrative issues. While present, we do not for the dynamic of the recent market. I know the committee is aware of some of the challenges that face the domain of public vehicles. Transfer report has demonstrated from this committee about other issues involving taxpayer. And the forms are included that we stand. Unless other evidence is brought forward, we are confident to say that whatever the relationship may have been between Mr. Sudan and his man, such processes were not in any way influenced. This committee may also be informed that the financial services board, where Mr. Sudan was the CEO achieving the recommendation this year, have announced publicly that the FSB own policies and investigation of the internal body by Postman General found not evidence of a breakdown of the internal controls within the organization. The FSB has expressed its confidence that neither he nor any other entity regulators has suffered as a result of any issues that Mr. Sidat may have involved in. Most important parts of our presentation to the chairperson and members of staff is a matter involving allegations of impropriety against Mr. Johan van Ochtendijk, the senior SARS investigator, was initially investigated by internal SARS of the meeting. Although the panel review did not prove any wrongdoing or breaches of the law on Mr. van Ochtendijk's part, SARS considers it very paramount to assurance to further investigate the issues that they have raised. This water's complaint serves as a guard of the integrity of SARS and the trust of South African public in the taxpayers. SARS, therefore, appointed publicly Moses Kakan as the lead external committee of investigation into the complaint against Mr. Johan van Lochenberg, and as a result, Mr. van Lochenberg was placed on such a day in order for the investigation to increase in an unencumbered process. The committee of investigation will be tasked with examining the report on whether 1. Any breaches of SARS processes, policies, or codes, including violations of taxpayers' communications, oath of secrecy, prescribed to SARS officials, or procedures for good governance. 2. Any instances of the conflict of interest in our rights. 3. Any instances of unlawful or illegal intercepting of information deemed okay. 4. Evidence of engaging in corrupt activity. Finally, act of impropriety in general in terms of the law, as well as any allegation that may come into light during the course of this investigation. Chairperson and the committee. The committee has also been instructed to conclude investigation and then find the solution in 45 days, which is on the first request. Unless compelling circumstances state are there for change the sense of preference. The findings of the committee are made public and concerned. Members of the same committee on findings have seen in the interim deadlines this must be on allegations by the insurance about the existence of an alleged corrupt in the consumers in charge. I want to emphasize the point. When this method was my attention, it was a cause of concern. I need very much clear that I convened an agent as a meeting of the same officials. These meetings were held on Friday and Sunday, where I said, under my direction, things of this nature were not controlled, and rogue activities in the organization by officials which are outside the law shall be taken very seriously. I will take charge of this if anybody with evidence found where the law has been pushed in the past 15 years. Once you form this commission, this issue has been raised by the Mr. Cousin's final given to the and you will certainly deserve to hear the cost. presentation there are online facilities to manage our accounts. Around 1 million of the times, debt valuation and payments are processed by SARS for the length of the year and more than 96% of these transactions were processed electronically. In addition, SARS branch offices and finance obligations received more than 9.7 million credits in the first four seasons of Texas. Branch operations and engagement teams participated in more than 14,000 test launch campaigns in education intervention. This initiative started with more than 755,000 test kits. Chair, we shall embark on the test education compliance campaign to create awareness and importance of tests to our people. SARS to date conducted 1.8 million test launches during the year across a range of test tests and test cards. There have been 333 investigations into possible sales tax and customs offenses. On the international front, in international issues, SARS has continued with a wide range of international engagements. One of the issues that we're involved in is the base erosion and profit shift, which continues to be a threat to the tax-based international development program. The shifting of profits to locations with low or no income tax is an ongoing concern for SARS. Much of our work internationally is focused on the fight against base erosion and profit shifting. SARS is participating in the OECD project in this regard, meaning that it can promote the concern of developing nations, most generally most negatively affected by the base erosion and profit shifting mechanisms. We have also launched a pilot project on our Swazi and Mozambican counterparts to establish an IT network linking regional customs authorities and faster developing an international e-customs network. This will ultimately allow for a seamless and real-time electronic transfer of information between customs authorities across Southern Africa. SARS has continued to be an active participant in the UPTEX Accreditation Forum and serves as chair for the 2013-2014. This role is now being taken by our counterparts in Zimbabwe. This includes providing operation and other support for the HCS project, which is based in Pretoria. HCS work is focused on improving Africa's ability to mobilize domestic tax revenue and to combat harmful tax practices. The Global Forum on Transparency. downward trend. A significant improvement of 24.4% was achieved between 2009 and 2010 during the global financial crisis. The most significant contribution to the growth in the 2013-2014 tax revenue were company income tax, service income tax, import and customs duties. Current income tax showed a steady growth from the prior year, and for the first time, surpassed the pre-crisis level achieved in 2018-2019. The relative contribution of company income tax to total revenue was, however, still much lower at 19.9% as opposed to 6.7% in 2008-2009. Despite the muted job growth, personal income tax grew by 4.2 billion, which is 12.4%. On the back of above inflation wage increases. Import tax and customs duties performed well, growing by 19.7 billion, which is 17.6%, and 5.2 billion, representing 13.3% respectively, mainly driven by imports and machinery in the vehicles. The contribution to overall revenue made by furniture, textiles, by exports. Personal income tax remains the biggest single contributor at 34.9%, then at 26.4%, and finally company income tax third at 19.9%. Texas GDP ratio, one should inform of this is a conservative case, where the tax to GDP ratio is around 25%. Short term, however, us is the overdue debt. For 2013-2014 was the year of very solid performance. Significant effort that we made over the years contributed to successfully managing the growth of debt in deficit only 386 million from 82 billion to 82.2 billion at the end of March 2014. This slight increase of 100% on last year is a good achievement in the current circumstances. Debt as a percentage of total revenue has increased by 10% last year to 9.2% as of 31st March 2020. Some debt are counter-historical, and by law, cannot be eliminated. Strategic effort to manage the debt book that shall be evident in operations for the third annual. The mid-range debt book was reduced by 5 billion, which is 8.8%. Compared to the last financial year, the debt management cash collection increased by 9.4 to 10.8 billion. Write-offs were down by 3.2%, while productivity increased by 21%, and collections, the full-time FTE, were up by 2.9%. The South has business center made assessments against aggressive tax structures, statistically, but these are uncollectible as no asset exists in these structures. When able, therefore, to write off as currently in law, there are no the underpinnings. When compared to other revenue administrations around the region, our debt as a percentage of total revenue is not yet in line with international trends. However, there is a positive downward trend towards our target of 6%. Worth noting that the UK and Australia do not include uncollectible debt in their instruments. On the final view of the financial year, 3.7 billion of new debt came into our books, which are included in the total of 82.6 billion. That would have been 39 billion and 3.7 billion not in the sole day without an opportunity for collection. As mentioned in the previous reports, there are cases where taxpayers have credits on the same tax type, but for different individuals which are not set up within the tax limits, as in the bank and paying taxes. Each bill is treated as a separate account. Income tax offsets do occur as its own one account. To align accounting treatment of 4.3 billion of credits would be set against the debt book. The alignment to offset debt between different tax items is quite in progress. We are vigorously looking at various strategies to address the problem and impact it has on the bottom line. I'd like therefore to move to our strategic outcomes. Our outcome number one, which states increased outcomes, increased customs compliance. total revenue collection was 1.5 billion over target. The collection totaling 136 billion. Default bad and company usage accounted for almost all of this. With default bad positions 17.6%, the cars were reduced by 18.6% from the previous year. A total of 58 companies are currently participating in the Trust Preferred Trade Program, working with Trust to improve customer compliance and confidence, thus allowing for speedier transit focus. In the year under review, 27 traders and auditors to confirm their suitability to join the program. The audit includes validating the trader compliance, licensing and registration, assurance systems competency, alignment with customs requirements, solvency, and appropriate knowledge from master's market. Of those 77 companies that we spoke about, Trust Customs Accreditation Review Committee recommended that 30 for level 2 and assisted and further exist implement compliance improvement programs. A further 11 traders are in the process of being evaluated by the Customs Accreditation Review Committee. On outcome number 2, increased tax compliance. Although tax levy, excluding customs, was 432 million below target, the three key tax types also personal income tax increased by 12.4%. Company income tax increased by 11.6% and that by 8.7% in year 1. The total class taxpayer register increased by 9.8% and the personal income tax register by 8.8% for the previous year. In the 2010-2011, SARS changed its policy and stipulated that all individuals who are formerly employed must register, rather than only those taxpayers above the tax threshold. This resulted in the number of individuals on register increasing by 6.4 million taxpayers since 2009-2010 financial year to 16.8 million in 2013-2014. Charles has pursued a further tax-based broadening measures that resulted in the overall house tax and tax rates are reflecting a positive growth of 9.8% in comparison to 2012-2020. There has been a 14% increase from previous year in the numbers of audit cases completed. And there is 267 cases returned a guilty verdict for tax and other criminal offenses with a potential prejudice to the discharge of 200 million. These offenses include fraud and theft, money laundering and racket sharing and such kind of offenses like the non-submission of income tax returns. Some enforcement programs for the so-called weak debt and leverage point. It ranges from the desktop verification of information to criminal investigation. With in our hands means that there is an equal chance for every taxpayer to be tagged by SARS. That means that in certain cases SARS will consider taxpayers affairs in debt. Leverage means that SARS will consider measures that are not necessarily enforcement, namely accreditation, partnering in the industry, police certification representative groups, to encourage voluntary compliance to accord in accord with the banking sector. The third outcome, which relates to increase, ease and fairness of doing business with SARS. The 2013 crisis saw 6.1 returns were entered on time, all of it for the 22nd of November 2010. A 7.7 increase on the previous year. received over 785,000 tax payment certificates of price fasting, placing a significant burden on both of our branches and the bank office processing system. Establishment of the Office of the Tax Ombudsman, one of the outcomes of the Tax Administration Act, starts to develop the formal structure of communication between the Office of the Tax Ombudsman and ourselves. The OTO functions independently from staff and report directly to the Minister of Finance. The Office of the Tax Ombudsman receives complaints from the public on service-related matters and conducts an overview on fairness of staff processes and its treatment of taxpayers. Key lines of communication and interaction between staff and the Office of the Tax Ombudsman are therefore essential. Staff has worked jointly with the CIPC and the Department of Home Affairs to establish electronic links with databases and by them. This will allow us to improve on our management of taxpayer entity identity. It will also result not only in improved ease of doing business, but also in increased confidence about accuracy and effectiveness of the information staff holds, and thus improves staff's ability to encourage tax compliance. And the last one, increased cost effectiveness, energy efficiency, and institutional security. SARS continues to maintain its cost of tax revenue ratio in line with the international benchmark of 1%, used by revenue authorities around the world. This saw it dip below for the first time in 6 years, and it sits at 0.097%. This is the last possible indicator that SARS is being successful at containing the cost of tax collection at the same time as it is increasing those collections. It should also be noted that these calculations do not take into account non-tax revenue collected from the number of other institutions, which is the case with a number of significant international revenue authorities. If those collections were taken into account effectively in this calculation, the SARS ratio would have dipped back to sit at around 0.94%. Internationally, the United States has achieved a low of around 0.6%, while Germany sits at 1.5%, while our colleagues in Brazil actually also sit around 1%, and as I indicated, we sit below 9%, which is a very huge commitment that the country is demanding. On the human resource front, the method that has been laid by the Management Committee, the start of headcount at the end of March 2014, was 14,137, excluding 20 temporary employees. Of these, nearly 11% are management and less than 1% are top management. Chapter 7. The staff attrition rate was slightly higher than previous years, and the headcount turnover was 3.97%. This is attributed to regulations, dismissals, and retirement. Our areas of concern in this regard is internal audits and legal and policy of employers, which are 15% and 8% respectively of attrition. These are the key areas that we said if not properly attended to. Because the internal audits is assurance and policy development is key in terms of giving that issue to science. We continue to prioritize employment equity. The five achieve annual equity targets for race, gender and disability. Since it's itself in charge of the revised demographic composition of its personnel from 2 to 1 white to black, 2.2 to 1 black to white. This was accomplished through natural attrition and delivery requirements. There was no retrenchment or exodus of white staff. In this way, staff retained a lot of institutional memory. Ours remained a commitment towards employment equity and to ensure that transformation is expressed in the democratic infrastructure, like rehabilitation, as it clears from 20.41% in 2010, the city has created was 20.65% in 2014. So there's been a marked increase in terms of the increase in terms of our rehabilitation, as you can imagine. I therefore want to take a posture of this information and allow us to take questions, clarifications from our side on the issues that we raised ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you, members. Mr. and then I'll come to you on. Dan, thank you.
Thank you. Can I use a question? Environment that can make you to be able to crack it.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'd first like to congratulate the new commissioner on your appointment. I'm sure that you're going to keep doing good work coming out of the SARS under your suit and election. Also, thank you very much for the number of investigations that you came to take place. I think it's very important. SARS has always been a shining light in our service, and it needs to remain. Also, the confidence of taxpayers is very important. So I'm sure that that's right in some of your minds, and certainly sounded that way, and it's a very good thing. And I think I'm very pleased about that. I'd like to use this concern that we would receive in a copy of this report that is going to be done on this matter. But also earlier on, I'm sure you're aware, I asked for this general amount in ex-gross payments that were made to party or former employees. More specifically, I want to know whether the outgoing commissioner, Mr. Moshiba, received a payment on his departure, so called golden handshake. Also, I know there are of your HR is here, maybe she knows more about it as well. But I also want to know whether any other employees or former employees received ex-gross payments from SARS. And the reason why I raise this is obviously looking at the annual financial report, and there are payments that are reported. If there are payments that are made that are not in fact reported, that would then be obviously a very serious problem. So I just want to get some clarity in my own mind on that. Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you very much for that. In fact, as the Honourable Tandy said, it is actually the way we do it in Africa to welcome the commissioner. And I think that your input, when you started off and explained the working relationship that you have with the rest of the team, that actually gave me quite a lot of encouragement as to how things will be progressing. The matter which I would like to raise is the first matter of the investigation. I think my colleague on my right has also requested a report. So as time goes on, please just ensure that we get reports. We do acknowledge that some of the people have been actually laid off work for a particular time once the investigation is happening. So giving us input on those investigations is quite important. Secondly, the next point is that the commissioner spoke of the money we have collected by SARS, but I would like to rephrase my question and state that don't think the amount we have collected, how much was actually released, so that one gets an understanding of how much was released and then this is how much we collect. The next point is the test of education awareness campaign, that is very important to us, especially as the politicians. We would like to get a bit of transparency on how much of that has been done and whether it has actually benefited us in a way that it should have, and how much is still going to be done so that our people are actually educated. Because this point is important for many of our people right now may not be submitting, or some, or a certain number may not be submitting their self-sensitive report. They are maybe hiding away, or probably they are not aware of what has happened. But the test, the education, there's got to be the education which one has to understand from the lowest level, so that people are not just given standard education, you know, the same education throughout. But where people can actually get an understanding, our people in our townships and everywhere else, and way in the towns and everywhere else, so that they actually understand. May I proceed and ask about this issue of the great erosion and profit shifting? I think this is a very important property that we have actually seen a lot of this happening in our country. Some of it may be because, but it may be there. like Mr. Clinton, if you remember when people were polluting bread and whatever, and I think just yesterday and this morning in the papers there's the motor part where the AC companies that have been investigated, fine, we will get that report. But how serious is this matter of a corporation shifting profits to locations with low or no income tax? And what effect does it have on the collection by the time? And I think there's also the matter here on page 3, which is the increased scrutiny on old refunds submitted in current years as well as refunds currently. How serious is this? How are we going to resolve it in the end? Or is it going to be a matter that is going to continue on and on, you know, or is it a matter within the air, the world, the addressing? And lastly, on this matter about outcome 3, page 8, this is the last matter we can make our and we do understand that government is attempting to address the introduction of the SGA, as well as data from third parties. Would that information be fully incorporated as part of the public education that we given? Because many people do have a lot of these third party type of issues. It is quite important that the administration keep a close eye on what we mean by public education. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join my colleague in congratulating the Commission. I think let me start with the question the two audits and former commissioners of the I would really like to appreciate the people that have come to speak, but as always, the committee will never be satisfied. Especially on the issue of over-collection. At all times, we say, maybe you are underrating yourself and keeping lower targets so that you can be seen to be and you know, you understand that revenue collection will act as an expression. The program that was come up with through the mandate of your team in the decision to Commissioner to lead the shift in terms of ensuring that we collect more. Two or three things that are very close to my heart, that this committee and the former acting commissioner, and I think that the quite a number of people who are and I'm not sure whether we're listening to the audio. To the surrounding areas and the provinces. So if we run it out nicely in Mpumalanga, it will then assist in other areas. Big B should be the second one. And like I said in the previous meeting, that Messina has been declared a social foundation. And the money resources in that area and what we can take into once the economy of the becomes stabilized. It will totally change that area once we have been executed. So I've seen a paragraph in one of the cases in the annual report, but that's just for my question. The second issue, which should be a gospel concern for yourself as a state commissioner, is the cargo scanner. I think they are talking about the scanner in Cape Town and at the port together, and one of the scanners they have will be moved to the bridge. Somewhere in the report we talk about industry together. Somewhere in the report we're talking about industry. Somewhere in the report we're also talking about customs management system and this other the automation and digitalization of services in Brussels. So if really we want to see improvement around raising more revenue, we should also move towards ensuring that some of those things. We've been calling for a scanner for this stage. And I think the time is now. Because we know what it means. Especially because in this figure, I mean, if you look at the figure here, about 26 cases, which is there in the report, worth 319 million won. Just on this figure, what does that mean? And how many of those people are able to meet undetected? You know, the dog only and all those other things. You cannot rely on all these things only. Because we know the amount of illicit that are coming through the gate station. Not very long time ago, we had an issue.